Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Emotional affairs is on the docket as far as a discussion because we have talked to so many people over the years who are in the midst of an emotional affair. They're dealing with an emotional affair and maybe not even know it. And their spouse is. They're aware of it. Or maybe no one's aware of it. But I can tell you this, in dealing with couples over the years, most affairs, full-blown affairs that end in a divorce and separation in a marriage, often begin right here in this early stage of developing a heart connection with another person. So we'd love to have you join us. If you have a question you want to leave in our comment line, it's 888-888-1717. We're going to get to the callers coming in, and we have some that just say, hey, I want to remain anonymous, you know, because of the sensitivity of this topic, which is perfectly fine. So let's go to our first anonymous caller.
Yes, hello, Dr. Andy. My wife and I are currently separated, and she is having an extramarital affair. I personally feel I'm in danger of emotional adultery because I have an extreme longing for emotional contact. I guess you would say I'm starving emotionally. So, yes, I guess I am in danger, and that's what my problem is today. It's something I battle constantly.
Well, you're being honest, and that's that's the first step, isn't it? It's when we deny that it's a problem to us that it becomes a problem. And the fact that you've called national radio show and you've said, hey, I struggle with this, and you even used almost the title in my book, Starve for Affection. You said, hey, I'm basically starved, you said. And God created us, so in this most intimate of relationship and marriage, affection and love is to be the bond that holds us together. And so here you are. I mean, you're vulnerable. Your wife is having an affair. You're longing companionship. That's very normal. There's nothing abnormal going on here. There's certainly not in terms of what God's intention is. The fact that you have that longing is very normal. And I think acknowledge it. I would just encourage you intentionally, say, hey, listen, this is a normal desire that God has given me, but I'm never going to put my marriage back together if I allow myself to fall into the same trap she has. So no matter what your wife does, no matter what decision she makes, you got to live with yourself. When you get up in the morning, you're in your own skin. And we all say this, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, and that's exactly where you are. Because in the process, you're going to hurt yourself. So listen, some practical things. You've acknowledged it. I'd get some guys to help you hold accountable. I would stay focused on some positive goals that are going to be in your life. I would recognize your vulnerability and put some guardrails in place. Don't be in places or with people or discussing certain things. If you don't decide in advance to do that, when you get in those situations, it's going to be tough for you. You got a comment? 888-888-1717. Let's go. I think we've got another caller who wants to remain anonymous, which is fine, with a question. Go right ahead.
Hi. We have gone through in our marriage for over a year. My husband has had an emotional affair. He tells me that it's okay because he is not physically cheating on me. However, I have found these love notes over 10 that he's been writing to someone else, and he goes to work with her every day, and she tells me that it is okay, and it's ripping our marriage apart, and he can't understand why I can't love him fully while he is having these feelings for someone else. So emotional adultery is very hard, even though it is not physical.
Well, listen, let me just be straight on something. The scripture says, Jesus said, if you even seek another person emotionally, you look at that person lustfully, that becomes adultery. That becomes sin to you. That's a pretty hard teaching. Come on, guys. Living in the world in which we live, the way we're wired, that line is always very nearby. And there's points of repentance, and God's a forgiving God. And the issue here, though, here's the big issue. If you're married, and your spouse is saying something is off, and you say, well, no, it's not, and you ignore her, even if there is nothing off, you just blew it. Because in the process, you hurt her heart. You denied the fact that she's dealing with these issues. If you're a smart guy in a marriage and your wife says to you, I'm hurt when you do this, or I'm hurt because of that, even if you're not real tuned in or agree that that's an issue, you should. You'd be a smart guy to say, honey, talk to me a little more about that. What can I do to make sure that your heart isn't hurt with this? Taking those kinds of positive, intentional steps, making the decision, declaring the your intention, and then moving in that direction is a smart thing to do. It really is. Let's do one more. I think we got another anonymous caller with a question, and then we'll take a quick break.
I have had trust problems with my husband. We've been married for just 10 months, and he's had emotional infidelity happen. He has lied, you know, more times than I can count on one, maybe two hands. And I'm broken about it because I don't know what to do about it. And we're seeking counseling, and he's getting help for it. But it's hard for me to trust him still, and he's, like, asking for faith. And it's hard for me to have faith in him when I don't believe what he says because he's lied so many times. And I just don't know what to do about it.
Well, that's a difficult call. Because like anything in life, the more repetition there is, the more sticky the problem becomes. Does that make sense? You know, if something happens and there's sin and there's forgiveness, boy, that can hurt and that can linger. But when it happens again and again and again, it becomes stickier in terms of hanging on to potential bitterness or anger or resentment or whatever the negative emotion might be. A couple of things I encourage you to do. We talk about active respect, and I think the message to your husband is, honey, I love you, and I want to make the marriage work. I'm deeply hurt. I don't know what the outcome is. I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive this, but I'm telling you this, the ball is in your court, and you're responsible. You're going to have to be able to demonstrate that you've changed, that you're committed, and that you're here, and you shouldn't have to take the responsibility in terms of making him better, or frankly, even hold him accountable. He's got to get accountability other than you. He's got to have guys that hold him accountable, his counselor, his pastor, and others in the process. That's not your job. Your job is to love him, but I know it makes it increasingly difficult. We'll pray that God does a miracle here, that your husband realizes he's gone beyond the cliff and hanging on with a thread, and hopefully and prayerfully he sees that and will make the changes necessary. All right. This is Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. You can join us right now on Facebook. You can leave a comment on Facebook or call 888-888-1717 at our comment line. Back with more calls in a couple minutes.
Terry, just saw your status and thought I'd pass this on to you. Sounded like you could use a little encouragement today. Call me when you get a chance.
Encouraging others and living intentionally can be a real challenge. When you click like at our Facebook page, we hope you'll be encouraged to lead an intentional life every day. Share a kind word, comment on wall posts, and like Terry's friend, encourage one of your friends to become part of something great. Search for Intentional Living at Facebook. Click like and then pass the word on to someone you care about. Find Intentional Living on Facebook today.
How do you confront unfaithfulness in a marriage? I am Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. You know, it's important to remember that unfaithfulness is something different than being unloving or unthoughtful. We tend to have those moments in marriage where we act in an unloving way or an unthoughtful way. Maybe something that we say, or we forget to put the toilet seat down, or something that we know is important to our spouse. But faithfulness is foundational. You can't have a marriage without it. So can I encourage you to acknowledge the pain in your heart, the hurt that you're experiencing, but intentionally act with your head? Keep the ball in their court. Get help for yourself and give God an opportunity to move in your marriage. I have seen marriages completely restored after unfaithfulness because of God's intentional love. And when you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
All right. By the way, the Intentional Living Minute that you just heard goes on Facebook every morning. We post it Monday through Friday. And if you'd like to have it come to your news feed every day, you can do that simply by going to facebook.com/intentionalliving and like the page. And when you like the page, it happens. I don't know how it happens, but it happens. And it'll be a video version of the Intentional Living Minute. You know, in counseling with people over the years, and I imagine most pastors and counselors listening, have discovered that that a divorce that is a result of an affair usually begins with this emotional step. And one of the reasons we're addressing this topic today is because if we can, as they used to say, nip it in the bud, you know, if you can nip it in the bud, if you can deal with it at the beginning and find out what's going on in your marriage, what's going on in your personal life. And one of the things I tell people is just count the cost. Every decision you make has a cost. And if you make a decision today that says, hey, you know, you're going to step out and have an affair emotionally, or you're going to start getting involved with a person, what's going to happen in the process, it's going to be very costly for you. All right. Okay, let's get back to our calls. First, we have Hunter in Arizona who has a question for me today. Hunter, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Hunter. Yes, I can. Go right ahead.
Okay. So I had a question for you. So I've been struggling lately with my girlfriend. We're not married yet, but so we're planning on it because these last couple months before I leave for the military, I've been struggling because I'm going into the military to become a pastor so that they can pay for my college so I can be a pastor. And I got the calling about a year ago, and I was just sitting there, and then I met her, and then she's kind of taking me down a road where I knew all along that it wasn't a good relationship, but it was just somebody in my life who really cared for me. And I heard a couple weeks back somebody say something about his girlfriend wanted him to pay more attention to her than his own mom. And my mom and I, like the guy Michael has been through, my mom and I have been through a lot together, considering my dad hasn't really been there for me my entire life. So it's been hard for me to even realize like how I'm in a deal when I'm gone, because I can't trust her because she's messed around two different times. And
let me hold this for a minute, Hunter. There's a lot going on in your call. One is I'm hearing you got a very close relationship with your mother.
Yes, sir.
And is that an issue to your girlfriend?
She feels that I need to grow up.
Okay.
Because I have such a close relationship with my mom.
All right. And she may be right. I don't know. I mean, that's a reality, you know, whoever you marry, whoever you develop, if you're going to be a pastor and have a ministry and be married, you got to understand what leave and cleave means and what that relationship is. Sometimes it can be a healthy relationship with in-laws. Sometimes it can be very unhealthy, a symbiotic relationship. And so just, you know, that's something you need to maybe take in the back of your head and say, hey, maybe that's worth looking at. The second thing, though, is I'm hearing you say, hey, she's fooling around on me.
Yeah. And basically,
you think that's going to change? You think that's going to change after you get married?
No.
So let me ask a question. What are you going to do?
Well, I've been giving it a lot of prayer and thought, and like God tells us in the Bible, I've basically forgiven her, but I think that there's always been a little bit of selfishness to where I think I have tried to stay in the relationship knowing that it's not healthy, just because I feel like I should forgive her and stay with her, but I think what God was trying to get me to understand is you need to forgive her and let her go.
Yeah, see, we get really confused about this. As Christians, I think we really get confused about this forgiveness thing. Somehow or other, we think forgiveness also means acceptance, restoration, you know, reconciling a relation. It doesn't always mean that. There are times that forgiveness is, hey, I forgive you, but we're not continuing. I mean, I do a whole lesson on when do you fix or finish a friendship? And you could add that in a dating relationship. When do you fix or finish a dating relationship? And, you know, Hunter, you're the one's got to make the decision. But my experience of working with people over the years is that people don't change easily. And if someone has in their heart that it's hard for them to stay faithful and committed in a relationship, that doesn't easily change unless there's a true, deep spiritual conversion experience that God really does something in their heart. If a person is just wired in that direction, it's not something that's easily changed. So we'll be praying with you, man. Big decision, but seems pretty clear that, from my experience at least, that people don't generally change all that much after they get married. Whatever you see before is what you might be seeing afterward, very likely. Okay, Delilah is in Arizona. Delilah, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi.
Hey, appreciate your call. What's your comment or question today?
You know, I just wanted to share that years ago I attended a Titus II workshop, and I was taught to take responsibility by implementing what they call a 2% rule.
Mm.
And that's how I protect my marriage.
What is
that's
a 2% rule? What is it?
It's just taking responsibility for whatever the marriage issues might be without pointing fingers or having the attitude of, well, I'll do this if he does this.
So does a 2% mean if I'm even 2% responsible? Is that basically
right.
what it means?
Right. Whether it be, let's say there's trouble with finances or children or maybe even affairs.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who's doing what. If I take responsibility for 2% of what I'm doing, focus on that, look to Christ and the scriptures to see how to fix that, and be intentional about doing it,
yeah.
then you see almost immediate results.
I agree with you, Delilah. I've been at this counseling work a long time and teaching, and I've talked to thousands of people. And I've had a few, I have to admit, I've had a few come up to me and say, I've blown up, I've been responsible for our marriage and our marriage failing. And I always pat these people on the back spiritually and say, hey, that shows some maturity. It shows that you're taking personal responsibility, one of the laws of intentional living. But I can't tell you that the greater percentage over my lifetime has been people coming and pointing their finger 100% at their spouse or at a sibling or somebody else for whatever the problems they're facing. And healthy people are willing, I like that. I'm willing to say, hey, I may only be 2% of the problem, but I'm going to take responsibility for my 2% and deal with it.
Right. And it makes a huge difference. And, you know, to put my marriage in a nutshell, I've been married for 27 years. And the first 8 years or so were absolutely miserable. My husband proposed to me on the second date. A few months later, we were married. There's a 20-year age gap. There's a cultural difference. So we were set up for failure from the beginning. But God, when we allowed God to step in, he did what he does best, which is make something out of nothing. Mm. And my husband is now a pastor of a ministry here in the Valley. And we love that the Lord is using us. He's blessed our marriage and our family. And I'm telling you, there is hope in God, in Christ, and in the Word. We just have to turn to it.
Amen. Appreciate your call today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Glad you're listening to Intentional Living in the Valley. That means in the Phoenix area, I think. By the way, if you have a comment on this, I'd love to have you join in our comment line, 888-888-1717. And if you are watching this on Facebook, you can always post your questions there as well. Speaking of Facebook, here are some of the comments that have been coming in about putting guardrails in place. Mary says, in our marriage, we're very transparent about everything. Sometimes it's painful, but we decided over 10 years ago that we had to make it a practice in our marriage and at home. We have a happy and a harmonious home. Being honest with each other is huge. Craig, who's a realtor, he says, I find myself in numerous situations that could easily lead some men astray. As a rule, I never meet with a female client in her home without the husband present, if at all possible. Or I bring my wife with me or another agent. Good idea. Let me see here. Janet says, I never spend time alone with a married man. I never enter the home of a married man if the wife is not home. You know, we got people listening saying, boy, they're old-fashioned. They're just stepping back away from the boundaries. See, this is the way they're living their lives. Candace says, as a single person, I'm not out looking. When you look, you find trouble. When the time is right, the Lord will send the right one. Otherwise, I focus on raising my kids and earning my nursing degree. Good for you, Candace. Lots of good comments. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Isn't that human nature? Isn't that the sinful nature that we have? We always are comparing. And this gets right to the heart of the matter of what happens in families. Because we are constantly comparing. You know, it says in the book of Genesis 37, you look at the story of Joseph with his brothers. Remember when Joseph had the dream and he comes to his brothers? It says in verse 11, and his brothers envied him. They were comparing. You got this dream from God. We didn't get it. We're going to throw you into the pit. There's the constancy of comparing. And what happens to us is there's a fairness pain point, I think, in all of our lives. And it damages relationships severely. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching, When Life Isn't Fair. Life is not always fair. In fact, life is never fair. I mean, I think about what's going on in the world today. Our daughter and her husband and three of our grandchildren are serving in one of the poorest countries on the planet, one of the most dangerous planet or places on the planet. And my daughter, who's pretty tough, we've talked to her with tears in her eyes as she's talked about really the unfairness of seeing what some people in this planet are facing just to survive. So what do you do when life isn't fair? And this month, we just give you a great encouragement. So members, watch for the teaching. It'll be coming your way this month. If you're not a member, you can join us. And when you do, make sure this comes your way. Become a part of the team or share that very best gift. And if you ask for it this month, we'll make sure you receive it. So all you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And you know, support, the support you give to Intentional Living makes stories like these possible.
Hey, this is Jesse. I just tuned in and I've been listening for a few minutes now. It's kind of wild how God works in someone's life. I was listening to your show on friends outside of the marriage, and it's really heavy on my heart. There's this girl at work, and we share so much in common, and laugh and joke all the time, and I really question whether or not I should stay in my marriage because of the feelings I have for this girl, and this girl has the same feelings for me. It's been heavy on my heart, and I've been wanting to talk to God about it, and I've been praying, like, God, what am I supposed to do about it? It's kind of funny your show came on, and I just turned on the radio, and you guys saved me. Your show had absolutely just made me say, no, that was an exact answer from God, black and white. I need to just drop this because it's not good. I love my wife. My wife's done nothing wrong to deserve any of this.
Yeah, you just saved yourself some pain, brother. A whole bunch of it in your life. So good for you. We're talking about emotional affairs today. It's kind of like the first step in the process down the hill. This is where it begins. And if we can catch you here and thinking about it, because we're all vulnerable to this, by the way, this isn't like, you know, you got some weakness other people don't have. We all have something in our life that we're vulnerable, because Satan knows where to push the button. And if this is the area that he gets to you, boy, that's why staying back, putting boundaries in place, keeping those guardrails in place is important. Telephone number, if you have a comment for us, is 888-888-1717. Or join us on Facebook as well. And we got Mark from Nebraska with a question, I think, question, comment. Mark, go ahead.
Dr. Carlson, regarding the emotional affairs, I would be interested to know what your take is on a man like myself, who it is myself. I have a wife that has been battling cancer. She is 7 years into it. And my concern, not just about my two kids at home, but myself after she's gone. And so sometimes my thoughts will take me to other women that I see in the church or have a relationship with. And it's real easy to lament on those possibilities or potentials. Anyway, that's a specific scenario for me at this point in my life. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Mark. Man, I love the honesty today. You got, you know, men and women calling just saying what it is. I mean, you're struggling, you're feeling the temptation, and I'm sure if we talk deeper, there's got to be some guilt for those feelings as well. Mark, here's your wife struggling with cancer, and you find yourself with your mind wandering. You're human, my friend. You're human. And so your honesty is welcomed here for sure. Obviously, the scripture is very clear about taking captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. And I would encourage you to find that mechanism that works with you. When your mind starts to wander, what is it that brings you back? Is it a scripture verse? Is it a thought about your wife? Is it a thought about the future? Is it a thought about something else? But one of the things we do have control over is our thinking. Our thinking doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens, and then we can take captive that thought. In fact, Paul says, whatever things are true and right, admirable, praiseworthy, of good report, that we should start to think on those things. And so diverting our thinking, in your case, Mark, away from, you know, those thoughts of what if and in the future or other people, turn your mind back to this moment, what's happening now, what's needed, what is God doing? And as you take control of your thoughts, what's going to happen is positive things are going to happen in your life. Better things are going to happen in your life. Okay, hey, I have a minute, right? We got a minute. I want to share just a few thoughts from our friend James Dobson from his book, Love Must Be Tough, about this whole topic. He says, stay honest with yourself and with your spouse. That's critical. Avoid magazines today, technology, right? Movies and other forms of entertainment that can increase your tolerance or decrease, maybe increase the fact that you're more tolerant of this kind of thing. Try to see your relationship from your spouse's perspective. That's huge. Don't flirt. We heard a caller earlier on another show on that topic. That's really a dumb thing to do. Keep your marriage as number one priority. Make sure you're working to meet your spouse's most important needs. Grow together spiritually. Set boundaries about how you will interact with the opposite sex. I write about that in the book Star for Affection. In fact, I have a whole section in the book Star for Affection that can help you think this through. And then surround yourself with happily married people. Couples can help you. Okay, we're out of time. I'd love to hear your comments. You can share them with us on Facebook, or you can call and leave them on our comment line at 888-888-1717. I want to thank those of you who joined us on Facebook Live today, for those of you who participated in the radio show. And if you missed any part of it and you'd like to hear it again, it's available on demand. Just go to theintentionallife.com or go wherever you find your podcast, and they'll be there for you. Rob, thank you, my friend, and Stephen, and John, who helped out as well today. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.